All right, let's get to our NHL insider. Elliot Friedman joins us on the phone line. We just finished talking about Nazem Kadri and Joe Thornton and our expectations for discipline. What are yours?
Well, I think if Thornton gets anything, I think he's going to get one game. I think that one's pretty easy if they decide to do that. Kadri, I think he's going to get hit pretty hard. I think it's going to be a significant suspension. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play again in this series if it goes seven games.
That's a significant loss for the Leafs in 2 years in a row. Are you beginning to question whether they can coexist moving forward, the Leafs and Nazem Kadri? He's a real good player, but biggest stage 2 years in a row, he's hurt them.
Well, it's certainly coming up for discussion. It's definitely a topic of conversation here. You know, the one thing is he's locked in on a really good contract. You know, he hasn't had a great year. You know, that's the thing. Like, we've kind of been wondering all year long, where is the real Nazem Kadri? He simply had not been himself all season, and once the playoffs started, I thought he was really good. You know, before he did that penalty the other night, he was their best player. He scored in the third period. He led the comeback. They were playing really well in the third period. They were making a game of it. He'd been fantastic in the first five periods. And, you know, no question he lost his mind. But, you know, I don't know if I'm certainly trading him. Number one, you know, he's got a good contract, and they're going to need players under good contracts with where they're going. Number two, he's a center. It's a very important position, a difficult one to fill. Number three, he fills a role on that team that not a lot of other guys do. But, you know, and number four, they know him better than anyone else. Like, they know if he's in a position where he's going to be in a position where he can get better, he can mature. But you guys are right. It's 2 years in a row, and, you know, it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I think the Maple Leafs are looking at this fool me twice kind of situation right now, wondering, what do you do, especially if it knocks you out again in the first round?
Elliot, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Thornton and a suspension or not with him, but the latest on Mark-Edward Vlasic is he is day-to-day with his injury, undisclosed injury, but day-to-day, the word right now. What are the Sharks without Vlasic on their blue line?
Well, it's made worse by the fact that Carlson has really struggled. You know, Vlasic did not have a Vlasic year. I think he's one of the best defensemen in the NHL. I think he's one of the most unrecognized good players in the NHL. But this year was not a good year. It took him a long time to get going. And, you know, it was noticed. Now, in the first game of the series, which they won, they basically had one of Burns or Carlson on the ice for half the game. And they looked pretty good. Since then, Carlson has really dropped. He's been on the ice for 10 goals against. And all of a sudden, that loss of Vlasic, when Carlson's not at his best, it really looks worse. I mean, there's no question about it. I don't think, you know, they got a lot of problems. Their goaltending, Jones, is giving up bad goals and early goals all over the place. I think if Jones was playing well and Carlson was effective, it wouldn't be as bad. But when you add those two things to Vlasic being out, it looks potentially catastrophic.
What are they going to do? Like, they don't have many other options, because Aaron Dell does not inspire a lot of confidence. Martin Jones has the worst save percentage in the postseason right now. They're kind of between a rock and a hard place when it comes to their goaltending.
They sure are. There's no real answer. Like, what's your other suggestion? You just got to hope that these guys fight through it. And the Jones thing is weird, because he's been one of the better goaltenders in the league the last couple of years, but this year he just hasn't had it all year. And you're looking at the guy on the other end, and he's the best goalie in the Western Conference. And you can see one team's confidence growing and one team very frustrated about what it sees going on behind them.
Tell us about the scene in Toronto right now. 1-1 coming home, you've stolen home ice, and yet I feel like that's not the vibes around Leaf Nation right now.
Well, before the series, they were pessimists. They thought they were going to get killed. And then they won that first game, and they played great, and everybody was in it, was feeling great. Like, we got a shot here. And that's what the prevailing opinion was. And I think even if they'd lost, if this we weren't waiting for this Kadri decision to come down, I think the feeling would be really optimistic. Like, if you told these fans that they were going to get out of Boston with a split and play really well in that one game as they did, I think they would have been ecstatic. But now I think you're concerned. I mean, like, the one thing that the Leafs told their players today was, you know, you look at the Moore hit on Char in game one, that was a big hit. You looked at the Kadri hit on Clifton the other day, that knocked Clifton out, he won't play tonight. You look at the Muzzin hit on Krug, he is going to play tonight, but, you know, they knocked him out of the game. They've showed that they can play hard and physical with Boston. But this Kadri, like, he is the one guy most of all who can do this. And I don't know if it's the same feeling that there was before game one of the series, Pat, but they're concerned. There's no question about it. 1-1 with Kadri potentially out for the rest of the series, I don't think anybody here really likes that.
Elliot Friedman with us from Hockey Night. What have your observations been on how the Tampa Bay Lightning have fallen down 0-3 to the Columbus Blue Jackets?
Well, I mean, it's astonishing. Like, I think I said, I know I've done it in a lot of interviews, that, you know, there's no upsets in the NHL anymore. I guess we would have had to call it one if Columbus beat Tampa, considering the regular season but the Lightning had. But if Columbus sweeps them in particular, that's not just an upset. Like, that's one of the biggest playoff upsets in NHL history, a sweep. Like, I was trying to think of anything close to this, and the closest I came, you know, there have been some big seven-game upsets before. But, you know, when Detroit got beat by Anaheim in 2003, 4-0, you know, that's the closest thing I can think to it. But this is an absolute stunner, a total stunner. And, you know, Columbus didn't even take a penalty last night. Stamkos played less than 9 minutes in the first two periods. Jeez. Vasilevsky looks like normal. Like, I mean, it is hard not to look at this and be absolutely shocked at everything that's happening. Stunned.
So I was bandying this about yesterday with a buddy, and you never feel like someone's coming back from 3-0 because you're down 3-0 and you've been getting pummeled. So Tampa's got a tiny chance, just like, you know what, Penguins Flyers, just like Kings Sharks. We never see that coming, though. It's always hindsight that it's like, oh, yeah, well, it happened to them. But these guys, they're just not playing well enough. I mean, you aren't playing well when you're down 3-0 ever, are you?
Well, no, you're not playing well enough, that's for sure. Like there's some series. Like you look at, you know, you look at some of these series, and you could say, like to me, the Winnipeg-St. Louis series, it's like inches. Like, either team could be up 2-1. But this one, Columbus, like, they've earned it. Like, they are full out better. And the same with the Islanders. Like, the Islanders, it is not a fluke that they are up 3-0. They have earned it. And I'm stunned. Like, obviously, I'm stunned what's happened to Tampa. I'm really less stunned, but still stunned at what's happening to Pittsburgh. And that, you know, if they go out here and they don't mount a monumental comeback, they're going to have some big decisions to make.
Pittsburgh you're talking about.
Yeah.
Walk us through that. What kind of decisions?
Well, I think you're probably gonna have to look and say, okay, that's, you know, they're a Stanley Cup champion three times, but twice with this particular group. Last year they lost in the second round. This year they could go out of the first, potentially even swept. You know, they don't have a lot of prospects, and like, I'm good with that. They always decided with Crosby and Malkin in their prime they were gonna go for it every year. And I would, too, if I ran that team. But you probably have to do a rebuild on the fly now. And, you know, if you don't make a comeback, what's your rebuild on the fly? Like, who on your team can get you something? You know, and to me, one of the biggest questions is, would they consider somebody like Letang? Because I'll tell you this, if they put him out there, I think the offers they would get would be huge.
Well, we heard them floating Kessel's name, what, last off season or even mid-season?
Well, no, but Kessel also came up during the year. I assume he would be out there too. But, like, I think it depends. Like, they haven't officially been knocked out yet, so they maybe make a big comeback. But You know, I think, like, they're probably going to have to get younger, and they don't have a lot of youth because they've moved it. So how do you get youth? You look at your pieces and say what can get them, and they've got some pieces that can really get them.
In saying that, though, the incredible story that has been Robin Lehner this year just continues into the postseason. He has spearheaded the Islanders, have been a huge part of them being up 3-0 in this series. It truly is a really nice redemption story for Lehner, isn't it?
It's a fantastic story. And, you know, the Masterton nominees will be announced in the next little while, and I got to think he's going to be one of them. You know, I think at the end of the day, like, I remember when I first started out, you know, people always warned me about stories about people who were battling what he came back from, whether it's addiction or depression, like, and they said, don't ever trivialize them because those are big things, but always be careful of proclaiming someone as cured or they've beaten their demons or anything like that, because they said it's so hard. And it can always change in one day. So I've always been mindful of that. So I see a guy there, you hope for the best for him as a person, that he's going down the right path, you can stay on the right path, and you know it's constantly a battle. But at this time, he looks great. He's playing great. You can't help but root for that guy. And I hope he only continues on the great path. Life continues to turn out great for him, because I will tell you, like, even some of the teams that gave up on him, like Ottawa and Buffalo, they recognized his talent. They saw this in him, and I think it's great now to see that he's getting there.
Elliot Friedman's with us from Hockey Night. What can you tell us about Philadelphia's search for a coach and eventually deciding that it's going to be Alain Vigneault?
Well, when, you know, they went after Quenneville and they didn't get him, and, you know, I think that it was pretty clear. I think they were pretty aggressive, but I think that everybody knows now that Quenneville wanted to go to Florida, that was his spot, and they convinced him that they were going to do things differently. And I don't think Philadelphia missed on Quenneville because they were not aggressive or not willing to make a big offer. I think they missed on him because he didn't want to, that wasn't his first choice. So I think they looked at it, and they were probably going to do a search. And then I think they targeted Quenneville, and they, or not Quenneville, but Vigneault. And they simply said, this is the guy we want, so we're not going to fool around, and we're going to get him. And I think I reported Friday that they had permission to talk to him, and I wrote it or tweeted it, and guys said to me, like, you're underselling it. They're going after him big, and he could be the guy. And I'm like, you know, just, I want to be safe here. This is what I do know, but I can't say I'm incredibly stunned hearing what I did on Friday that he was the guy today. I think he's the guy they wanted. And I know it ended badly for him in New York, but, you know, I've spent enough time around him with the Rangers, with the Canucks. I think that guy's a really good coach. And whatever mistakes happen in New York, I'm sure he will learn from them, and I think he will be excellent for that team.
Anything else? Any other buzz that you're hearing right now in the coaching world?
What about Buffalo? I mean, it sounds like, okay, McClellan's not a fit.
I don't know. Like, you know what? Like,
I think
honestly,
they're interested.
Ryan, I don't know how interested they were in Vigneault. I think they were interested in Quenneville, but I don't think he was, again, interested in them. You know, I think they may have checked in on Dave Tippett. I don't know if that's a possibility for them. You know, Todd McClellan, I think he's going to L.A. I think he's going to be L.A.'s coach, barring a snafu of some kind. I don't know. I don't know. I think that, you know, I don't think they want a first-time guy, but I don't really have specific names at this time for you. I think they're going to look for guys who've been coaches before with some experience and see what they can come up with there, but it's not the most obvious guys to me right now. I think Buffalo's is good. They're interesting because, like I said, they looked at Quenneville and it was a no. I think they've looked at Tippett, but I don't think he's that interested. So, you know, I think it's not as easy to figure out at this time.
Did you enjoy Tiger yesterday? You get to watch that undivided, or was it a side screen?
So no, you know, we were working on this Pittsburgh yesterday, so we were watching Tiger at the same time. And Ron showed a great split screen last night in the Winnipeg St. Louis game that when whoever scored the 3-1 goal there off the feet from Filippo and Komarov, from Filippo and Beauvillier, it happened at the same time as Tiger was winning. So it was good split-screen watching for us.
Unreal. Thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the grind. We'll chat next week.
See you, Elliot.
All right, guys. Take care, guys.